14 podcast presented by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sportsbook. Bet local. And folks, we got ball to talk about. We just watched one of the just the typical Toronto Blue Jays roller coaster. We are joined with a very special guest, an OG friend of the show. It is Zoobs, the Zoobs on Twitter, our guy, OG Blue Jays Twitter guy. Zoobs, how are we feeling, man? I mean, you had a good comment in the group chat earlier that I'd love for you to make public.
Which was I got a lot of good comments.
Well, it was the one about like everything, all the preseason takes you had, that one.
Yes. Everything that happened this week that reinforces something I already thought, that is real. Anything that doesn't is just small sample size, which is good because a lot of the stuff I thought got reinforced in the last 4 days. So I feel great about a lot of my takes.
So Avery, how you doing? I'm doing great. Awesome to watch ball. Two of the worst offensive performances we've ever seen, coupled by two of the greatest we've ever seen. YJ's is coming on here. We're seeing him. He will be here as well. But Zoob's an awesome 40 and 30. Less than JJ can catch that there. So Zoob's, who, like, after weekend one, do you think you're the most right about? Obviously, you can't be right about anyone in four games. But where?
Well, yeah, you can.
You can.
For sure. You can't be wrong, but you can be right.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it might be, I just like the way Vladdy approached the whole weekend, like took his walks, obviously hit a 450-foot bomb, but like the Vladdy conundrum is so much a part of how the team goes. And I thought he wasn't chasing away. He wasn't forcing himself into bad situations, was like looking for his pitch. And when he got the opportunity to hit that huge home run. And I thought sometimes he can get a little, I don't want to say impatient, but like really wanting to make something happen. And that gets him out of looking for the thing that he can absolutely do the best, which is absolutely pound things over the middle and up. And he did that. So that was good because that sort of drives the whole thing. The other one, I'm sure we're going to talk about it, is Clement. That was one where it was like, you're watching to see how this goes. And I thought pass with flying colors. So lots to like for sure.
It was, because the thing about Clement that really fires me up is, and I know, like we talked about, it's only two game sample size he's playing in, but such an unbelievable spring. Such an unbelievable season last year, and he kind of followed it up with the bat and the gloves. Some of the plays he was making at third base yesterday, mm-hmm. I know it's going to get swept under the rug because the Jays lost by a trillion, but was insane. Like the sliding in the third to get the force out, the backhand plays he makes in the hole. It's just insane what this guy was able to do in the field, and I can't speak enough about how good Ernie Clement was this weekend for this team that obviously needs it with the loss of Matt Chapman at third base. But the guy that really stood out to me this weekend was IKF. I know we sarcastically talk about IKF, like being that guy, all
Isaiah
that type of stuff. He kind of fucks, but he was really good at the plate, like getting into deep counts, not chasing, putting good swings on baseballs and not trying to hit 1,000 home runs. Like he was just hitting the ball the right way, taking it where it was pitched. So I know that IKF money's looking a little bit bad compared to some other contracts that happened this offseason, but he was a guy this weekend too and looked really good in the field as well, right?
Mm-hmm. It was, the Ahmed Rosario just coming in right away as BNS would love to do, saying, oh, that's the guy we need instead of Isaiah Kiner Falefa. But he was pretty good. Like, people want to bury him quickly because of the money. It's not our money, man. Who cares at this point? He's on the team, but he battled pretty well today. Anyone who goes, it'll be like the coaching tree for Bill Belichick or Nick Saban at some point. Whoever hits in the nine hole, the second leadoff spot's going to do well this year.
That's fair. We got to give flowers to Calvin Biggio as well. A guy that we were hard on a pretty decent amount last year. I was not familiar with the Calvin Biggio sandwich, as True RGM says, where he's bad at the end and at the start, but he's really good in the middle. He's just all meat. Give me the meat, as True RGM says. So Calvin Biggio is just unbelievable. Zoobs, I know we're in a tough spot here because Ernie Clement is kind of in that Calvin Biggio role where you can play second, third, and kind of hit bottom of the order type. They're making it hard on us to pick who should we love, like who should we give our heart to, you know?
Yeah. I thought today was telling. Bo gets scratched at the last minute, and it's like you assume you could put Kiner Falefa at shortstop. I think going to Clement there is like really telling for me. I know it was quick, and maybe they have somebody like the prep is already done, But I thought Clement being the go-to backup shortstop was like, to me, I was like, that's interesting. That's a like, Ernie is to me, maybe a peg above the depth chart as to where we thought he may have been.
Yeah. And Mr. Baby has joined us. No camera.
Can we get a mic check on Mr. Baby?
Can we get a mic check on Mr. Baby? Because it doesn't show he has a mic right now on the participants part of the stream. So Mr. Baby, who shows up 20 minutes late. Oh, my God. He's here.
Oh, we can't hear him.
We can't hear him. He doesn't have the mic on. He doesn't have the mic on, folks. We are in collapse mode. It's okay. Once we'll wait till he figures the mic. We'll keep going here while he gets that mic situation figured out. But Avery, where are you at here with the Ernie Clement experience in terms of just getting him reps? Because it's kind of, we talk about depth, but Davis Schneider looked great today as well. Obviously launched that home run, which is what he does every single time. He won't play for weeks on end or days on end, and then he'll come into the game and hit a home run. Where are you at here? Because like, there's only so many at-bats you could give guys. Like, there's so much depth pieces on this team. So where are you at with Ernie Clement and the Davis Schneider and the Calvin Biggio aspect?
So the thing is, I don't know if you guys saw Paul DeJong hit a home run today.
Yes.
I'm now in the way of, you give anyone who is able to make it to the major leagues regular at-bats, and they will show a spark at some point. It's like... who brought it up in our chat today that I thought was really good? Seth, yesterday. He said, what about the whole platoon thing? Is it should work. We got a little bit of noise from Mr.
We
Baby.
Got a little bit of YJs, yep.
There we go.
Okay.
We're good.
We're good?
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Where am I?
He's good.
Oh.
All right, Mr. Jesus. Baby is here. Mr. Baby's here. You will not be seeing him on camera. We will be seeing him. We're going to protect his identity because we're man of integrity. But that's a good point, Avery. I do think that makes sense. And that's
what, I look that bad?
No, you look great. I just don't want – I don't want – our followers are a little bit crazy. I don't want you to be a profile picture of someone and your identity be stolen when people are getting in Twitter arguments. So out of respect for you, we're doing that. Is that okay?
I'm fine either way.
Okay.
Either way. Any way you want to go.
He's fine either way. But Avery, I did – that's a good point because I talked about it with Luplo, Avery, and he said, like, it, obviously he's best when he is playing every single day, but he said it's like that for every single guy. It's really hard to come off the bench and fucking hit. Like, it's hard to come off the bench and hit 96 to 98. It's impossible to do. So that's a really good point that the more reps you get in games, the better you're going to be. But – Santiago Espinal kind of disagrees. Second half of 2022. Zoobs, where are you at with this team? Give me one overreaction. Like maybe the offense is back. Like, what's your biggest overreaction from this weekend?
Oh, biggest overreaction is that they've figured out the balance of the lineup a little bit better. I think last year with the Chapman swing and miss and the rejuvenation of the energy of the Buffalo guys, like those guys not coming in mid-season and sort of providing that spark they did last year, having them in there the whole way, young guys, hungry guys, you sort of get a bit of what the team was when it first started this window, I think is really important. A guy like Ernie, a guy like Davis, who is like, they feel like every time they're out there, they're competing to prove themselves as major leaguers, no complacency, no veteran attitude. I think that rubs off in the right way on the rest of the team. That's my overreaction is guys like Ernie and Davis are helping sort of bring a rejuvenated youth movement to a team that had gotten a little stale.
YJs, what about you? I mean, let's go into this weekend for you. I mean, two games were made my eyes bleed. Saturday, Friday.
Woo!
Unfortunately, one of them was a Friday beer stream, which was potentially one of the worst streams. I was hungover as shit and had to watch the offense just refuse to hit baseball. So that sucked. But what was like your reaction from this weekend? There was obviously so many positives in this lineup from this weekend.
Yeah, it's, well, I love the sandwich. At least it's like start good and good. Awesome. God, it sucks to get carved by people sitting 91 and a half. Like, God, you just go and you're just like, I don't know about you guys. Did you see a lot of, especially the lefties, high cutters?
Oh my, I was going to send you the message. How many 88 mile an hour cutters did we see this weekend? It felt like every single guy. And when the Rays do it, you think they're on something. When a shitty organization does it, you think, oh, they're throwing shitty pitches.
No, it's kind of the Bassett cutter plan. Because, God, Bassett is just reverse of what you think, right? It's like so breaking balls in and up and then sinkers up. It's like pitching coaches 20 years ago are seething. Just like down and away, down and away. But yeah, that was one of the things I noticed just because, God, you're not getting blown away. And it sucks, especially like swinging through fastballs, like middle up too. It's just like weird, not weird, but like annoying pitching plan that kind of did get executed for the Rays. Was awesome to hit Eflin. Just... Should take him out, you know?
Hitting Zach Eflin, but getting carved up by Little or Littell is like the most Toronto Blue Jays ass shit on the planet. Like it really is. Like you hit the guy who's the opening day starter for the team, the big dog, not named Shane McClanahan, and then Zach Little, who was pitching in McCook Community College 2 years ago, carves your team up. It just doesn't make any sense. But what I noticed, YJs, is this team, especially today, although they hit really well, they were doing the Matt Chapman effect. Middle in fastballs or middle fastballs, they were all just swinging right through it. It was the Matt Chapman effect from last season. But I got it to my cap. Matt Chapman's a Hall of Famer after this weekend. Looking great, and same with Jordan Hicks. But Zooms, I mean, this offense, if this offense could just maybe stay consistent, it'd be better, because I can't deal with two of every four games having to watch legitimately no offense. It's going to make me sick.
How about the two games into the Justin Turner era? Everyone was like, oh, is he cooked? Is he completely cooked? On Sunday, two swings with runners on, and it's like, oh, thank fucking God.
Well, I think his profile from last year told us exactly what was going to happen. It's crushed left-handed pitching. Second best on the team would have been last year. Way to run created plus against lefties and cannot hit a four seam fastball. It's just evident how things went last season. So at least he has a better welcome to the team than Brandon Belt did last
season. Oh my God. He was on Terrace Watch. There's a video I had to delete on the Gate 14 podcast Twitter of me screaming terrorist at Rogers Center after a Brandon Belt at bat. There is a video of me doing that out there. But I will say the Justin Turner experience from today, it is so cool to have a hitter on your team where he's up runner scoring position. In your mind, you're like, this motherfucker is going to come through. Like they showed the stat. The dude is hitting .333 with bases loaded. Is that not absurd?
I think it's better than hitting worse than that.
What a swing on Justin Turner.
I love it.
God, I love it. And he's looking up and he gets it and he just looks amazing.
The way that he finishes his swing, I think, is what does it for me. Like the one-handed kind of like elevated finish is unbelievable. He is doing the anti-age thing. And that's why we're the anti-age boys, Brandon Belt and Justin Turner. But Justin Turner in this lineup is awesome. And the fact that there was people today on Twitter crying about this lineup and then they put up the most runs they put up the entire series is just, that's Blue Jays ball, baby. That's what that is.
Did you think it was more defensive? They were complaining about where people were playing defensively, because the Justin Turner experiment at third base might be over, folks. It might be like, woo! Put him at second base. He played more second base last year, did he not?
I feel like watching him have to try to get to the bag on double plays would be a little bit tough.
I don't want him moving to his
true
right.
I didn't think about that, but it'll be like playing with your like Zoob's son. It's like, okay, Sam, I got this. I'm gonna do go cover
like
second base for
running from the hole to have to touch second base and throw to first because Turnsy's still not making it there on time. I love Justin Turner. I want to make that clear. He is my DH though. I don't want him playing in the field. I mean, Brandon Belt was really good at first, actually, last year, so it's kind of a hard comparison. But watching Justin Turner at third, the bunt down the line, and then he just launches the baseball into orbit down the foul line. And then today, the fucking throw he had to first It wasn't even in the frame. Like, I was on TV, you're watching it. The camera didn't even pick up where the throw went. It went, like, way off of the frame. So where do you have him on your depth chart, YJ's, for third base? Would he be the third guy now? Maybe four?
Well, fuck. It was kudos to them to actually doing it. Like, actually stepping up and writing his name in at third. I was so off. Like, he's not going to see an inning there. And then, like, first off, he gets thrown there after all the moves in game three. And it's like, okay, cool, whatever. We're managing. We're having fun. And to come back and he's starting at third after the bunt throw that, you know, started a war. So sick. So sick.
Yeah, and Zoom's had a really good tweet. It's like when you place a bet on a UFC fighter and immediately right when you put that money down, I actually say that I'm the best at knowing when a bet is dead within the minute of the game being on. That's what that is like. You put him at third, first ground ball, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
shit.
Not going to work.
I think it's funny mode. You put him in when it's 8-1. You put him in when it's 8-2.
I would like to have Vladdy play third base instead of Justin Turner.
Oh, that would be kind of tough.
The footwork would be difficult.
We're whining about him at first. let's move him to third.
Over under, YJs, how many innings does Vladdy play at third this year? 10.5 innings. Oh. Over or under? Like, I think you think under?
Wait, under.
Yeah, I was going to go under. Half an inning. I think
10.5 innings under that. Yeah.
What did he do last year? None?
Zero.
None.
Maybe, yeah. No way.
They have so many guys they would slide in before that.
Who's he playing third for?
Yeah. I think it'd be funny having Vladdy run it back at third base like the good old days when he got called up and just not really being that mobile or good at third base. But I will say he did save I will give flowers to Vladdy. Today he made a couple of plays at first, stretching wise and picking balls from the shortstop wise, where I was like, all right. This guy's kind of figured it out a little bit, but he'll do that, and then he'll just have the play like he did on Friday or Saturday when he just stretches to his right, candy hop, and it's just like, how did you drop that? Like, Zooms, when you saw him drop that, was your immediate reaction like mine? It was like, that was like the biggest candy hop I've ever seen.
It's all you can ask for a throw that deep in the hole, right? Like, true, Johnny, you're a first baseman. You understand.
I know. I picked that.
I was blown away, but also immediately like, this is exactly the kind of insane thing that I need to happen to watch some fireworks. I'm very set in my ways that if it's going to go bad, I want it to go bad in a funny way. And that fit absolutely perfectly. I was like, people are going to go insane about this and you're going to get Bo insanity. You're going to get Vlad insanity. Oh, two of the best flavors we could possibly ask for. And we got a ton of Bo insanity this weekend.
Brother, did we ever.
Oh my God. My mentions were, someone commented on our TikTok that said Bo should be the DH because he can just hit and can't field, and Ernie should play short, Biggio at second, Turner at first. Like, I've gotten stuff like that. The Bo discourse is bananas to me because the way that Blue Jays Twitter talks about Bo Bichette, you would think he is literally a blind person playing shortstop. This guy only made 8 errors last year. 8. Same as Corey Seager, who's considered a good shortstop defensively, or a decent shortstop defensively. 8 errors, cut his DRS in half, I believe, cut his outs above average in half, has clearly taken strides at being a good shortstop, had one mishap last year. I don't know if you guys remember it, the Philadelphia Phillies game where he made the error and they walked it off in Philadelphia. That was the mishap he had. But other than that, though, like, this guy has been a serviceable shortstop who is the best hitter on natural hitter on this team. It's crazy to me that Blue Jays fans hate this guy.
So the Vlad play was, this happens a lot. Whenever I have a thought, I just text the chat. I wanted to know the velo on it and what his average was, because I thought that was the hardest he'd thrown a baseball in forever. Like, that was an actually good play in the hole. And the arm looked really, really good during a season playing shortstop, taking all the balls you do. I think it's going to go down, but that was great to see at first. The one where it was the double play where he missed under. Ernie made a sick, sick play on a ball like that today where he backhanded it. Bo just got his glove in front, and then some of the other stuff. It sucks when it's that early and the discourse from 2 years ago just comes back, because he made great strides last year.
He's good.
The one ball up the middle too, he didn't get to. I think a lot of other shortstops probably get that as well, but
it's not a knock on Bo Bichette. If you could play competent shortstop and lead the league in hits back to back years, should have been 3 years in a row, by the way, if he didn't get injured. It took, like, he was out for a pretty decent amount. This guy just has to be a competent defender, and he's one of the best shortstops in the game. Like, that's just not a hot take. That's not me being a homer. That's not me being a Bo Bichette guy. That's just plain and simple.
Well, let's do the eye test here, John. The way Bo Bichette plays shortstop and the way Ernie plays shortstop look like two people playing different positions. When you see like a slick fielder, when you go to a showcase and you're in high school and they have Latin American players face and then other guys, it looks different. Ernie looks so much more slick doing it. And I think that's what people see if they don't want to look at numbers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, have you seen hate like this for a star player for the Toronto Blue Jays before? Because it is crazy. Like, was it like this in 15, 16 for guys or?
There was a weird thing where a lot of people didn't like Batista when the team underachieved, and he was like, he would hit a bunch of home runs, but he was really brash, but they hadn't made the playoffs yet. There was a bunch of like backlash about that. So it is sort of like even Vlad, right? If Vlad's OPS plus is like 130, but not 160, people get really bent out of shape. It's a weird city in that way, right? You'll take a guy who isn't as skilled as Bo Bichette, and when he does anything right, you celebrate it. It's a really weird way. I thought you mentioned Seager. I think that's a perfect example of like, he actually grades out in terms of like arm strength and some of the fielding stuff. Like Seager is pretty close to the same caliber of shortstop as he is. Just like, you take that trade off 10 times out of 10, he's not crippling the team. You mentioned it though. I think the beginning of this season is such a weird time. Like, people remember, they crystallize the early April games for some reason because they're about to watch the Leafs in the playoffs for like a month. And then they'll come back and be like, I remember this happening and this happening. People are going to remember the Bo errors for some reason. Thank God they won the first game and saved the second game for the shit game. Cause if they had lost the first game and then won the second game, it would be a backwards weekend. But yeah, I think people get really mad at Bo and Vlad more than they get mad at anybody else on this roster and sort of always have. Vernon Wells used to get booed all the time.
Yeah. YJs, where are you at with Bo Bichette? I feel like, I just think it's crazy. I mean, I guess you make the point a lot of the times that Twitter's not a real place, but it gets to the point where I'm assuming people this weekend got in a lot of bar fights. I know one of our Twitter followers did because the guy at the bar just kept on hammering Bo Bichette being bad, and the guy just started getting an argument with the guy about it. But where are you at with this Bo Bichette discourse? Because it is so stupid and unnecessary.
Yeah, that's summed up pretty quickly. I think he's a good player.
That's easy to say.
He's just good. I know he's good.
No. Old. And the Seager comps are awesome. Like, I think he does it a little different than Seager. Seager's such like a statue with like great hands, mm-hmm. of just like, I'm going to make a play. I'm not going to like try too hard to get to everything. Like, he's not going to dive and stuff. He's Corey Seager. Like, he's there to go be in the batter's box. And Bo's not quite that. Bo wants to make plays. And sometimes maybe it's like too much. He's toned it down. He's like throwing better. The whole like, I'm in my natural arm slot now. I'm not being forced by oppressive coaches to throw like normal shortstops. I think he's throwing harder too. And just a little bit like from that throw in the hole, like he did an arm program. He did a throwing program.
Maybe some drive line. Another big talking point this weekend that I wanted to touch on was the teams running on the Toronto Blue Jays just for free. Like, it was the easiest. I think I could have stole a base this weekend. I genuinely do think that. Where are you at with this, Avery? Because I know you wanted to break it down in a video and all that. So where are you? Is it more the pitchers, or is it more like Alejandro Kirk and Brian Servin?
You can even say his name to his face. Can you tell us the story of what you said?
Yeah, I called him when we were at dinner with Brian Servin. I called him Brian Servin. He pretty much looked at me like, who the fuck are you talking about?
No, you said a fully wrong name.
I think I said Swervin. I was also very drunk.
That's what you called.
I was very drunk when I was talking to him, so I might have said Swervin. But yeah, Avery, is this more of a pitcher thing or a catcher thing? Because Gausman is not the quickest to the plate.
No, certainly not.
a majority of the guys that were getting stolen on this weekend were not quick to play. Every time Jose Siri, who was on the base this week at weekend, it felt like he stole second and third, like at will.
So I've done a screen recording of a timer on my phone to go into every stolen base, and I will do pop time and I will do time to the plate. So you see on the base pass, Mike Pelfrey, playing the big leagues for a while, was my pitching coach. He said, if they don't get to 12 feet leadoff, so it's kind of the cut of where the grass is on every, he said, they're not going to be able to steal that base. Sure, you get a great jump, things could go wrong, but if you're over that cut onto the grass, they can steal that base on you. Like, they've gone far enough. And if you're a right-hander, it's 1-2 to the plate. If you're more than that and you have a fast runner, you're pretty much not going to get the guy out. Maybe Gabby Moreno behind the plate might help you out a little
Buster
bit.
Posey.
Yeah, exactly. He is pretty good pop time, but if you're not 1-2 the plate for a righty, and it seemed like a lot of high leg lifts from the guys. So I'm going to go into that and see how many were on the pitchers and how many were on the catchers. But that was my, like, if I didn't have the thought of, oh, they get on base and they run every single time, just like everyone else here probably had the thought, I wouldn't even thought of making the video. So it seems like they were just running at will.
Zoobs, do you think, if you're the catcher in that situation, like, you're going to the mound and being like, listen, motherfucker, you better start being quicker to the plate because this shit's making me look bad. Like, this is, I mean, at the end of the day, like, that is something that gets brought up in negotiations. Like, it sucks, but that's what gets brought up when you're negotiating deals or wherever. So at some point, if I was a catcher, I'd be like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, let's get quicker to the plate here, man.
Can I cast aspersions and say that Jano would shut that down and just sort of completely make that with zero evidence that he would call for a pickoff play or would throw something in there to mess up the timing? Or they had that great pickoff play in the spring where he dropped the glove and they went, yeah, you know what? I think part of it is you sort of have to choose what you're going to give up, right? And I think they're deciding to choose to face the hitter 100% and not worry so much, like not cost yourself a bad pitch by getting distracted. I think in the same way that we've seen them, you know, they've gone and got pitchers that are fly ball leaning pitchers because they're also going to go and get fly ball defenders. I think there's a little bit of that. And the league in general is stealing at all-time great success rates. So it is they happen to find, similar to the cutter conversation of like, did the Rays unlock the league in throwing cutters up? It's like, have they unlocked the league in stealing more often than average? It depends. It's hard to extrapolate. Is this going to be a big thing? I don't know that Kirk is, as you said, like a real deterrent from guys in the base paths. And if teams think they can exploit it, maybe they will. I will now, since he's not around, I will say Jano would have stopped all that. He would have come out and done a mound visit and he would have dropped his glove and they would have done a back pick and they would have done a pitch out. It wouldn't have happened more than once.
True. Jano's huge on back picks.
I noticed a lot this team would, like, to this weekend was wasting a lot of disengagements, like a lot of just stepping off the rubber, not even really trying to throw to first base. I don't know if that'll get addressed. I know they work on PFPs a pretty decent amount, even when they're doing like pregame stuff and all of that. But YJs, where are you at with that? Because I know this team has pretty much been in the bottom, probably like the bottom percentile for throwing runners out for the past couple seasons, right?
Yeah. Last I checked, like last season, Kirk and Jansen both were below average. I think they include like with what your pitchers give you as well, below average at throwing out base runners. They both kind of have noodles, like straight up. Love both of them. I hope both are listening and aren't mad at me. But there's a couple things. Like Rays are going to run. Like team dependent. Like you go and face, like the Astros are not going to run as much. They have a couple guys that might run. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm stupid. But Jose Siri rocks. I need to quickly talk about that. Like I said it. He is like, If you maxed out Luis Robert, everything good and bad, except also made sure the hitting stayed horrible, like that's Jose Siri. Like he's so cool. I hate that he's on the Rays, and he's so fast. They just have a couple guys that were like, "I'm here to steal. We're gonna steal." You know, And I remember last season, Kirk took like a month to build up his arm strength. I think there was straight up Chris Black threads of like Alejandro in spring training throwing like 70 to second. Just like truly like me throwing a ball problem. No. Okay. never mind. But so give him a month. He's going to be throwing runners out again. But the Rays are just fast and they're going to run.
Yeah, they have some voodoo magic. I am tired of hearing about the Trot bullshit that continues to be on Twitter and our mentions. That stuff is getting so goddamn unbelievably tiring to read. It hurts my eyes to read it, to be honest.
Can we do the best part of the weekend? Can we do the chat now?
The best part of the weekend?
Yeah.
The fight. Yeah, yeah. Let's go into it. I wasn't aware of this fight. It sucks because I was in the parking garage at Alto's condo and I'm coming up the elevator and I just see like Twitter exploding like fuck Caballero, fuck this, fuck that. So I just tweeted, I don't know what Caballero did or said, but he's a bum. And I just like, that's the best way to address it. I'm just always going to ride with my Blue Jays guys. What a weird situation that was. From the bunt with two outs down the third baseline to Justin Turner launching the baseball into the bullpen to, I don't really know how that fight started. I know Zoobs, what did you said you saw something where he said, like, what did he say?
So the way I see it is the throw comes into third and he's out by like four steps, right? He runs through third and Henny is waiting to back up the play and they bump. And what I assume is Caballero turns and it's like, hey man, don't touch me. Why would you touch me? And Henny is like, that isn't you getting bumped. This is you getting bumped. And then fucking gives him a shove. I love it because I want my relievers to be crazy. That's like when it talks about what does a reliever have to do? I want huge fastball, crazy breaking ball, and a psycho. Those are the only three things that I care about. So I was like, awesome. Three-game suspension, couldn't care less. I want to do that plays with like crazy eyes. I'm really excited about Yariel for that reason. Yariel's going to throw at somebody at this point this year.
Teeth too.
Yeah, and we're gonna be like, why did he do that? And it's like, oh, he's hated that guy for 8 years. I was like, oh,
yeah, he played him once in Cuba when they were like 12, and he pimped a home run off him when they were 12. Yariel Rodriguez is definitely like a firecracker. He's definitely got some demons that he is going to channel on the mound for sure, like a little Jordan Romano type. But Avery was looking for spin zones because I was with Avery yesterday. We went for kind of like a dinner thing. We were just chilling with our buddy Curtis. And Avery was trying to find spin zones on why to blame Caballero for that. When I'll be honest with you, man, it was kind of all Henny Cabrera who was
see, at. I would love to walk through this. So I tweeted this at DGen because he's a Rays fan. He was trying to start shit. Wasn't mad at him. So he bunts at the oldest player in all of baseball, okay? So if I'm the pitcher on the mound, you know you have a deficiency at third base. Like, you know it. You know what's going to happen here. He bunts the ball to him. And then the oldest player in baseball throws the ball away. So now you're double pissed off. You know that he's not going to play great defense. And then he throws the ball furthest possibly away. So then he keeps running. So he's trying to clown on your third baseman who can't play defense. Okay. So you're on the mound. It's like, just go fuck yourself, man. Like, what are you doing? And then he tries to continue the clown show by rounding second and going to third and out by 100 feet. He's out that he doesn't even have a thought about sliding, right? Like, there's no way he's thinking about sliding because it's so embarrassing. He could get tagged up the line. Henny, when you're taught to cover third base, he was before the coach, in between the coaching box and third base. That's not where you're taught to be at all. So there's a little bit on both sides, but then Caballero runs through the base as well. He could have just like hugged Bo type thing. Okay, I'm out, whatever. And keeps running through. They just wanted to start shit with each other. They were there for a reason. He kept saying what's up to him, right? And then he pushed him in the face.
I do like that. I like being about that action. I really do. I like Caballero kind of expecting Henny to bitch out. And our Paris, Texas merchant friend, Henny Cabrera, decides to be like, you know what? I'm about that action. I'm going to push you through the thing. But I love the spin zone takes that some, I'll say it, maybe a little bit of morons on Twitter were saying that somehow Bo Bichette got pushed. It was like, That just didn't happen, right? YJ's like, did Boba Shett, was he even really involved in that altercation? I don't even think so.
No, but it broke his neck, and I'm so mad at Henny. No, God, who could have something to say about Bo on that? That's good for people being creative.
Is he on the low? Like, who do you not want to go into a fight with on the team?
Man,
Romano.
I mean, you bring one guy.
Yes.
You bring one guy on the team, you know you're getting the shit kicked out of you. Who is that guy you're bringing?
It's Alejandro Kirk.
Yes, that's actually a really good one. I think Alejandro
wouldn't care. He wouldn't care. He just has an awesome demeanor, but it just does not help in a fight of just like, oh my God, who cares? Let's get this over with a little bit. Like a mound meeting with Alejandro. He cares.
He cares.
But it's such a, I was thinking of something stupid of like starting a fight of like, if you like Caballero's like the hourly worker and then Henny's on salary, like, no, I'll get it done. No, I don't need to waste time.
It was so
sick.
It was sick because we always see it in baseball, right? Where we have these guys that are just fake tough guys where they'll just get in each other's face and not actually throw punches. We've seen the Bryce Harper one where he tried to throw a helmet through Strickland, which was absolutely electric to use a weapon on the baseball field, which I think should be allowed. Henny Cabrera pretty much saying, no. I'm not even going to wait until you do something first. I'm just going to push you first. And shout out to BK for getting the still shot of Caballero's face just mushed like a
UFC fighter.
It was just an all-time altercation that realistically probably shouldn't have happened. The game was a blowout. That might have played a
that
factor.
That definitely
in
plays
why.
Into it with them being on defense.
Yeah.
How would you have felt? Because you would have fought someone probably.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, I would have. Listen, I am an all-time team morale guy. I loved getting into just chirping matches with other teams. I would do this thing, and this is a little baseball tidbit here for you, YJs, because you never played the game. You'll understand it. If a guy was pissing us off, right, in the batter's box or during the game or did something stupid, I would always tell our pitcher to try to pick him off at first, and I would punch tag him. Like, I would swipe tag as hard as humanly possible into the guy's rib cage when he would slide back to first base. It's kind of like a scumbag move by the first baseman, me, but I was the king of that. Like, he would be safe by a million, wouldn't even really have a lead, and I would just bam right in the fucking rib cage with the tag every single time. We do it kind of multiple times in at bat. So I was really hoping we'd kind of get that from Vladdy, but he's kind of too nice to do that, right? So well, that was never happening.
He was playing, him and Yandy were best friends all weekend, man. Love to see that from him.
Yeah, it was funny. But yeah, I do love Zoops. What has been your favorite kind of rivalry this team had with another, what the Jays have had with their team? Because for me, it was the Orioles. When was it Robbie Ray telling the manager to shut the fuck up? Was that Robbie Ray? That rocks. I need more of that. And I could see like Chris Bassett doing that at some point. I really can.
Yeah. When Manoa was good, he was very good at making the team like seethe with anger. Verdugo, the Yankees, the Mercedes symbol. I low-key think the Rays is like a bubbling up. I think they actually really do hate playing the Rays. I really do think that there's as much as we talk about being sick of the trop trope, and we are sick of like the, oh, of course it's the Rays. I really do think they are sick of that team and sick of being there. And I can see it being frustrating of like, you sort of understand the Yankees and you understand the Orioles even being good right now because of the way they built their team. It would be really frustrating to continue to go into the trough and be like, we're better than these guys. I fucking hate being here and I hate playing them. And I hate that they walk around all shredded up. So I would say like big picture, I think the best budding rivalry is Baltimore, but I do think there is a little bit of like, I don't think they like the Rays at all.
We have to talk about the belts on the Rays players. Those are special.
I'm on the opposite side of history there, Avery. I like the players that wear wrong colored belts. I like the neon yellow belt on guys. I really do. I can never pull it off.
The neon yellow makes sense for the Rays. It's a third color for them. It's like the green ones when they're wearing their regular home jerseys, or the pink ones, or it's just odd to me. They went Atlanta Braves mode, but I think all the Braves players who do it are cool, and that's the difference.
That's fair. The Rays got good style. I hate to admit it. I love the chains that Jose Siri has. It looks like he's wearing Lucky Charm necklace that his child made for him. But Jose Siri kind of does rock. I think if Vladdy wore a necklace like that, Brad from Barry would want him dead. But that's like Toronto Blue Jays fandom, man. I mean, that's just what it is. But he is swaggy. Jose Siri is a sneaky guy that I kind of root for in the AL East. He just is.
Should we do also,
the earrings were crazy too. The Razor earring game, out of control. Siri and Rosarena, the danglies.
A Rosarena's on steroids, right, YJs? Is that
he's on him and Yandy must have just they're really into, you know, biking. If you're getting my drift, you know, just
I think they did a
no liability.
They did a steroid cycle, like when two friends get pregnant at the same time. Like that's what they did. It's like, you know what? Let's do steroids.
I can't inject it. You have to do it for me.
That's what they did, and it worked. Randy Arozarena, I know we're keep pumping the tires of this Rays team. He fucking rocks. He rocks. He's so good.
Not a great pitch for Kevin Gausman to throw there. I had that middle. So
usually try to avoid that one, huh?
Yeah. The Kikuchi's was a little better. It was middle out.
What was the worst one? The Brandon Lau home run.
Yeah, that was bad.
So good.
That was pretty bad.
So bad good.
Yeah. Which one was the worst pitch, do you think?
The Brandon Lau. That's candidate for just that was because that is a cutter directly into the barrel. It's like
he did not want to be there. He knows. Yeah.
You dream of a pitch being that on a tee. I'm sorry, Chris. I thought you looked great most of the start of it. Shit, you were striking out everyone.
That was wild. Like first four guys, punchy, 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 punchy. Like that was like, all right, now we go. I just think a couple mistakes, and the Rays are good at hitting mistakes. Like that's just what they do. I Bassett will be fine. It's just the Rays are they're really good at fucking mashing mistakes and sending them to the moon. That's what they do.
What did we think overall pitching wise? We can go through. Let's go through all of them. We'll go, Zoobs. You take Barrios on Friday.
Excellent. I thought he was excellent on Friday. I thought it was honestly. I thought all four guys were like about what I expected, but I thought Barrios was really nice. Like the home run he gave up on the first at bat is like, man, that's change up off the plate that got turned on. No complaints. And then the rest of it was like what we've come to expect. That mix, that bread and butter, that silky slurve, I think is like just a joy to watch, that diagonal movement. I thought it was really relieving. You know, he's sort of been, he had that real down year, and then last year sort of back to who he was. It was nice to see him be back to the exact 3.5 ERA, always going 6 or 7, sort of cruise control, never really worried, gets occasionally gives up some pop, but I thought he was as advertised, it was like absolutely perfect. What I hoped out of Rios's first thing. And we even got the candy of, oh, here we go again on the very first at bat of the year. So I couldn't paint it better myself.
Yeah.
Anything special about that start, YJs, from Barrios, you thought?
Command was there. Command was awesome. He's so good when he's on, just because it's so great. Like the stuff's there. The stuff's awesome. It looks awesome visually too. But like not to just like spam stuff in the zone and just be like, which is cool, which is shit. That's kind of Kevin Gausman. Like at least fastball wise, it's just like my heat map is in the zone. You're getting about, I'm not worried about corners. It's awesome if I hit them, but Barrios is just slurves away, changeups in, and then fastballs sinkers on the outside to righties, inside to lefties. He did the one to, I think it was Caballero, that just locked him up. And classic, like, everyone has to nod because it's just like, yes, that's what you did. We have to accept it. It was so sick. Yeah, crisp. Crisp is what I have for that start.
Yeah, and this is a question here for the people. Who do you think, which pitcher do you think has the highest ceiling on the team when they're on? Because I think it is Jose Berríos. I think when Jose Berríos is at his best, he is the best pitcher on this team. Just based off of the pitch mix. I mean, Kevin Gausman's like a two-pitch guy, obviously, which is still good. But Jose Berríos' stuff is absolutely insane when he's on. And we saw it. The guy, when he's on, it is on the black, breaking stuff that's staying in the zone and then falling off. He's good at me. He's really good. So I for me, it's Jose Berríos. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but I think he has the highest ceiling on this team.
There's a different way to think of it than highest ceiling, because Gausman's ceiling is no one gets hits and he strikes everyone out. And yeah. I don't think Berríos has that as much as Gausman does every single start. Gausman, you're getting a fastball up in the zone or you're getting a splitter that's never going to be a strike and you're going to swing at one of them and he's going to go deep into games as well. Berríos' stuff is the most visually appealing of anyone on the team for sure. And I think it's sinkers in, slurves away, just looks sick. Just from any angle he pitches at, the ball moves way more, it looks like, on TV than anyone else on the team. So I still think it's Gausman. We could take Gausman out of the conversation. And
well, he's like a unicorn in reality. Like, he's a Cy Young candidate, obviously. So I think for me, it's Berríos. I don't know who it is for Zoo. Like, Zoo, would you agree with the Berríos statement? Or, I mean, there's still some guys.
I think he's like the Berríos is like a perfect combination of what I like about Bassett and what I like about Gausman, right? Where it's like execution at the highest level plus great pitch mix, right? It you mentioned that great command. I think Gausman is very similar. You mentioned it, Avery. It's like it's fastball upper, it's splitter down. But like when he's really dialed in, both of those things can't be touched. And with Bassett, when he's at his absolute best, you just don't know which pitch is coming. And that'll like he gets, I think he was top three. Bassett was last year in three pitch strikeouts, because once he got 0-1, people just didn't know what was coming next. And and Berríos has some of that, like especially once he's up in the count, the pitch mix basically goes like all four of his pitches are in the 20% zone. So like he'll throw anything at any time. And if it's crisp and if it's moving, I think that gives him a real advantage in, you know, it's such a razor thin margin of good and bad. I think if you're able to get that split second delay of not quite being sure what's coming, you can get yourself a lot of bad at bats from the other side. And I think that's what we see when he's really locked in. So I would agree with you, Avery. And if we're talking about like ceiling, as in the perfect combination of like stuff and control and mix, I think it's Berríos.
What about you, YJs?
Yeah, I have Alek Manoah.
He does rock when he's on, though. I will say,
intangible.
Yeah. That's a good point. When he's buzzing, that dude is a freak. I sometimes will, like, when I'm bored, I'll watch videos of Manoah from 2022 and be like, this dude was sick. Like, this dude was throwing 94 on the black and then would just talk shit to, like, some janitor for the Boston Red Sox who just stunk, which is, like, calling him his bitch. I will say, that's a good point. I mean, I know it was sarcasm, but Alek Manoah does have like an insane ceiling when he's on. We haven't seen in 2 years, but he definitely does.
Him at his coolest is just like, I'm throwing you fastballs and I'm huge. So it just looks like I'm punching you in the face with fastballs.
Yes.
So just like right into the batter's box, just like huge man. Hope you recover fast.
Yeah, hope you recover fast. Carbon monoxide detectors got a hold of him, as the kids say. But two guys I wanted to talk about that looked really good.
Can we do the Kikuchi talk too?
Yeah, we'll get into Kuchok, but I wanted to talk about these two guys. Nasty Nate might be back, folks. He's making me feel things on the bump. He really is. He is throwing fucking fuzz. And YJs, I'll kick it to you here because that's your guy, but he was shoving. I know he came in like the Chris Paul meme, like he drills a three down 30, but kind of meaningless games he came into. But he looks really, really good. He really does.
No, he does. Why is he so scared to throw 100?
He's very scared of it.
Four seam velocity down 2 miles an hour on average today.
But there's
he's
more command.
He's so scared
there.
Of 100. Yes. Yes. Well, he's breaking balls right now. I didn't get to watch him today, but lots of breaking balls and then surprising with fastballs. That was the first outing, and it was sick. It was awesome. Throw 100.
Seriously. Seriously. It's easy. Everyone can do it. But the next guy that I didn't want to talk about, and I'll kick it to Zeus for this, is Mitch White. Looks.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, I was looking at the radar gun. I was texting my buddies. I was like, Mitch White just hit 98. Like, what the fuck? What are they going to do when some guys, like when Swanee and Romano come back? Like, who are the two pitchers you send down?
It's a weapon. He's a weapon. I think Parsons, probably.
Parsons for sure, obviously. But, yeah. Like, who's the second guy? Pearson?
Who else? Yeah, who else snuck on into the bullpen? I guess Pearson, right?
Yeah.
Because nobody else is optionable. They don't have that extra optional guy other than maybe the solve is to let Henny serve the suspension for 3 games. Man, I love it. I love it. It's people like have this weird thing with like, oh, they don't have the starting pitching depth. And it's like, what team are you thinking about that has 8 starting pitchers? Like, what are you talking about? But they low-key do have like 7 guys. If we're gonna have Manoa as a bit of a hanging chad here, I was really impressed with White because I know we associate with a lot of Mitch White guys, and I was like trying to be very cautious because I was like, boy, the heat maps last year was like a lot of meatballs. It was a lot of slider in the middle. It was a lot of, you know, that the difference between 94 and 96 is pretty stark. It just, you're allowed to get away with that much more. Touching 98 is bananas, man. That is real serious trouble. I'm into it. What a weapon. And a guy that you want to succeed. I know he went on this show. He talked to you guys. That was really eye-opening to me of like, his mindset seems right. He seems like a guy that's set up to succeed. He sort of takes the right lessons and thinks about it in a way that I really enjoy. And you end up really wanting to root for him and really wanting it to succeed. So I was really happy to see him. You know, we've seen in years past, the guy that gets put into the situation that he was put in today of like, you're sort of taking over for Gausman, who gets you as far as he can on a pitch limit. That guy is sort of struggling. We saw Wes Parson sort of eat innings like my toddler eats lunch. Like technically he is eating, but it's taking like an hour. And then by the end, I'm like, yeah, by the end, I'm like, okay, lunch is over. That's what's happening. Mitch White was like a real weapon and really throwing gas. So I felt great about it. I really did.
How many Mitch White starts do we get this year, Avery?
One. Probably.
One.
Yeah.
You think we got a singular Mitch White start?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 3.
Okay. It's the called strikes and whiffs weren't there today. Everything was just like happy to stay in the yard. And I hate to do the bad thing. He maxed 94.9. I think you got exit velo. You got exit velo on one of the pitches.
No, we'll say 98 for the narrative.
He was at 98. Yeah.
He was 98.
Johnny and I
saw him. There was a pitch he threw 98 on stream. It was when I was by myself watching the stream and I said it, but. I guess
you didn't have anyone to fact check you, I guess, then.
That's fine. No one fact checked me, which is
I'm here for you, John.
No, we just the next Mitch White step is swing and miss often.
Yeah.
And we didn't see that today. I mean, you can nitpick anything you want in baseball based off stats. He got a ton of outs and he gave up one hit, right? At the end of the day, he is going to be confident into his next outing after that one.
He has to face, like,
I wouldn't be super like, oh, awesome, Mitch White starting. Now he gets his chance when it's the Mitch White start. But he was very good today.
And you were talking about Kikuchi earlier, Avery. I guess we can go into that. I kind of have a take that I think, I don't know if people are going to agree with. I think he pitched well yesterday. I think he got fucked by John Schneider making him go through the order 3 times. Because that's what we've learned. YJ's always supports the early hook. And now it's kind of I'm kind of on that side of that. But he looked great the first 2 times through the order. The 3rd time, they were kind of sitting on pitches, spinning on stuff, and hitting the ball hard, and they kind of kept him in that game and kind of screwed him. I know they needed innings from him, but I do think that 3rd time through the order that has killed Kikuchi a lot in the past is what fucked him in that start. I think he was actually pretty good on Friday.
Saturday.
Saturday, but, sorry. Saturday. I mean, everything's mixed up.
It was the walks again that kind of killed. It's so the Blake Snell thing, as YJs would know, is no one can fucking hit. Everyone gets on base by walk. Kikuchi did the bad thing of here's six hits and here's three extra runners that killed him at that point too, right? You just can't do both of those things and think that the outings are going to go
great.
It's kind of got to be one or the other, I think. The stuff looked pretty good. He was getting the swing and miss that he gets being a lefty who throws fuzz. The pitch change, I didn't think anything too much of. The Rays are good against left-handed pitching. And at what point do, like, there's something special about being able to go through an order three times successfully, and not a ton of people can do that. There's probably a ton of starters who get shelled third time through.
The Gen Z, the Gen Z effect.
Yeah, but it's like, what's the change? Because you're going to kill your bullpen if you don't do that either way. And if you have two people who are like that, your bullpen's the most taxed thing of all time.
Well, they weren't scared to tax it last year. That's for fucking sure.
Well, they're going to pay the price for it right now.
Yeah.
So I like the YJ's pitching stuff. It always fascinates me. Kikuchi thing. Can you do the Kikuchi thing for us? What do you think of it right now?
So about the worst lineup matchup for him, maybe the Braves are like even worse. I looked it up last year. I did a stupid statistic of runs per plate appearance against left-handed pitching, and the Tampa and Atlanta were tied at 0.145. The Cubs led at 147 for some reason. Who knows? Bad matchup. He didn't locate well. He couldn't get his fastball in. I don't know if he was trying to or not. It was a lot of arm side fastballs. But man, he grinded through it. Like, it really could have been worse. It really could have been worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So him and Gausman got the same amount of outs, right? Or did Gausman get one more? They both went 4 1/3, right?
Yeah.
Just hilariously different outings too. That's why baseball's the best, man.
Yeah. And talking of, I guess we can go into the Gausman talk here, and I'll talk about it. I'll bring Zoobs into this one. Sometimes, Zoobs, I forget how lucky we are to have Kevin Gausman on the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, we didn't see him the first three games, so it wasn't like having the opening weekend hype type of thing where it's like, holy fuck, we get to watch Kevin Gausman go up against another ace. But just from that first inning, he gets two punch outs. Looks unbelievable, locating his pitches, didn't even miss a stride. I know he was injured. He didn't make his first start in spring, pretty deep into spring training. So we are so lucky to have Kevin Gausman. And the Ross Atkins haters out there, he picked Kevin Gausman over Robbie Ray, who is a corpse of a human being right now on his second ball club. So why don't you address that, Ross Atkins haters, that Kevin Gausman is a Toronto Blue Jay making on a fucking steal of a deal compared to other starting pitchers. So what a pleasure it is watching this guy, man, every 5 days.
Yeah. The big takeaway looking at Gausman last year was like, man, they just didn't score any runs for him. And like, today was a great example of, oh yeah, if they score at all for Kevin Gausman, he would win 20 games, like, pretty handily. He's so good. Like, his pitch map today is just absolute beef, like, just dotting fastball low, fastball middle, fastball in, fastball to both sides, fastball up, and then the splitters, just like, it looks like absolute hell to face. I love it. He is an ace. That is to put it so plainly. And like, I know it, the word beyond the like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 set in stone sort of thing, sort of a low key, like, feels really good to have him come in and pitch game 4 versus an opening day starter is like some acclaim. But it was nice to have him at the end of the series and be like, we need to split. Oh, yeah, we have a top single-digit pitcher in baseball on the hill for us today. I don't know where you guys have him. I know pitcher list, I think, had him 7th in the whole league. Like, he's definitely a single-digit. I think you could make the argument for top 5 with Cole out. He's so good, and it's, I think, because the offense gets all the headlines, and as you said, like, him replacing Ray was what his first year was really built through. I think we sort of lost focus. It's like he might be the best guy on the whole team in terms of where they rank in the league relative to everybody at their position. Kevin Gausman is like special, man, like really a special guy, and rare to see essentially a two pitch guy like climb the ranks and be borderline unhittable when he's really, really feeling it.
Yeah. He's insane. I put him up against anyone, man. It sucks with the playoff stuff. I mean, he wasn't bad last year. Just kind of he got Royce Lewis, who is injured right now. But I will say there has not been more hype for kind of like a non-massive prospect pitcher as there has been for this Bowden Francis start tomorrow. Is that a hot take, YJs? Everyone's been talking about Bowden Francis. I know we've been kind of spearheading that with the amount we talk about him on this podcast, but this is a very anticipated first start
he
for a guy that
is going into a nightmare with the Astros going 0-for-4.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I have a bunch on that. I just have to jump back on one thing. Zoobs, hanging Chad. you dropped a hanging Chad in front of Johnny and Avery.
They were not in school yet. They were not. They were my son's age when hanging Chad was a thing.
Oh man, Johnny and Avery are such Atkinshills that they, as well, bring on 30-year-olds to their team like us. Disgusting.
I'm the Justin Turner of this podcast. When I first showed up, you're like, oof. Now you're like, okay. When you give him his spot,
there you go.
People learn real quick. 31's young.
31's it is very young. Well, for me, it's old as fuck, but for many, it's young.
you'll learn. Bowden, Astros. So I'm going to start quick on the Astros. Holy shit. It sucks. They're 0-4. Like, that's that shit in my brain that's just like, oh my God, that's an automatic loss for the Jays. Automatic. Just,
yeah.
They're going to go 0-5. They're going to go 0-5, but they might, because Hader's going to be down. Brian Abreu is going to be down. So who's holding your lead? They'll just crush Bowden. But Bowden's not getting crushed, baby. The Astros are, they're half like terrifying and half like, oh, it's because they're called the Astros and we know what they used to be. Like, Jose Abreu is... Oh my God, it's retirement home stuff. He is tough to watch. Chaz is cool. Whoever's in center field's not good. There's like some who's DHing, like there's some kind of like holes in that lineup. The top four is like, oh my God, get us through there. But I'm excited to see what velo Bowden's gonna hold, because right, Mitch White didn't hold it. Mitch White was very much like, you're dating someone, it's like, no, I'm very neat and tidy, and then they move in and you're a slob.
Yeah.
and if Bowden's getting outs, you can be a slob, go right ahead. But man, he looked awesome in spring. Not that spring matters, because Dalton Varsho's popped up how many times already? Ernie Clement struck out. Doesn't matter, but he looked awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Bowden. I am. Against who is he facing? Renny Blanco, Avery? Who is that?
He was great in spring for them.
So Ronel?
Yes, that's how you...
Ronel Blanco? Yes. Yeah, you're bringing up good points with Varsho, because in the spring, I talked about him being like one of the best hitters on the team. There's a clip of me saying he's going to be the best hitter on the team this year, or like the most valuable player on the team this year, I said, because of his defense and if he's just like good offensively. But he has had some very, very unserious at-bats this weekend. Swinging at balls, not even near the strike zone, getting blown past by the elevated fastball, which is what his problem was last year. The hit he got, I have no idea how he hit that ball. It was like a low ball he hit that just kind of, he had a sword swing that was just launched into the gap. But some of these at-bats from Varsho were very bad. I'll say it. They weren't good this weekend. It's not a knock on him. It's just unserious at-bats. Maybe it's the new stance doing it. But yeah, what did you see this week from Varsho Avery. Like, it's just the same thing there, right?
It just looked like at bats from last year too, right? I you can't really tell. I can't tell hitting mechanics right away because I'm not a hitter. That's not something my eye is trained to do or is close to doing at all. But it's like, was Kevin Kiermaier a lot better at the plate this weekend?
Oh, I totally forgot about KK this week.
He made
a nice catch. Nice catch.
Yes.
Yes. They're both also really good at catching the ball. So the one thing I said to you guys, it was like, okay, is why kind of is Kevin Kiermaier back right now? Like, I just thought Varsho should take the reins and change some things up. And you look at some of the Buffalo guys already. I'm not ready to call anyone up, but that lineup's stacked with people who can probably play corner outfield decently well. They had Davis playing left field. I would almost put Ernie at left field today with how that has gone, and Davis at second. IKF changed that all around, but that's for a different day as well. Varsho concerning with all the stuff that was up and the pop-ups as well, but we're 4 days into the season. I'm not gonna be set in stone on it yet.
Yes, it's good to just talk ball. But yeah, let's go to the Astros series while we kick it out here. I mean, where are you at here with this, Zoobs? I mean, we've seen this song and dance. Jays go into a series against a team that got swept, that just ran into a buzzsaw. Congratulations to the New York Yankees for their April-March World Series.
They do it every other year.
Great club. Juan Soto hitting 600. I mean, I will say this, though. That guy is not a hot take. I would die to have that guy on the fucking Blue Jays. He is insane. I was watching him with that bats today. Hater, he just flicks an opposite field single. Just fuck this right into the. It's wild. But Zoobs, where are you at with this series? Are you on panic mode? Like, I don't want to be the first team this Astros team beats, or are you like the do method? They kind of are due to win on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking that they are coming in pissed off, and we're giving them Bowden Francis in game one. Nothing that happens in game one counts. All these early matchups. I'm just hoping for splits. Anything above a split is candy. I'm not too much weight early on. I think the pretty tough schedule out of the gate. I think Astros in a bad mood. If they can split it, if they can get out of the Bowden thing alive, maybe have a nice Barrio start and then close it out with Bassett Kikuchi. I'm okay with split or like taking one. I'm really like, I have low expectations in this early in the year.
This guy thinks he can split three games.
I like that.
I keep forgetting. I thought that too, Zoobs. I thought they were playing four. If they were playing four against the Astros after four against the Rays, I would have had a panic attack.
Johnny, what we've learned is you and I could never do a podcast together because no one would actually know.
You want to know what the schedule is? Go watch ATL. Okay, they have the schedule in front of them. We don't. But
pull it up.
Yeah, this series is scary. It's a scary series. I'm not looking forward to the Yordan matchup at all ever. I mean, that guy's home runs rock. They're incredible. But no one in this lineup actually really scares me besides Yordan Alvarez.
Oh, you mean future Blue Jay Alex Bregman doesn't scare
you? He really doesn't. I'm sorry. And I will say
Kyle Tucker's no one. I mean, who's better, him or Preston Tucker?
Kyle Tucker's whatever to me. He's a fake lefty, good lefty in my mind. I'm just doing that. But the Astros really let me down this weekend because now Yankee fans are YJ's does the retweets. Yankee fans talking about, oh, here we go. Shout out to Cashman getting that big, making that big trade, bringing in the right coaches, all of this shit after four fucking games of the season. They're talking
I saw John Boy, who was very excited that they didn't put out a punt lineup today.
Yeah. things are different in the Bronx. Things are different.
Four games into the season, we're not bringing out a punt lineup. But I will say, this Astros series, I know there's no such thing as a look ahead. I'm looking ahead to that Yankee series this weekend. I cannot fucking wait. For I believe it's Stroman's going Friday, I believe, right? Yes. Stroman will be going Friday.
Yep. So Stroman, Schmidt, Gill?
Yes.
We're getting nasty Gill.
Nasty Gill. Where are you at with this Astro series? Because I know Zoob's talked about this, but Avery, I would be happy. I'm in the same boat as Zoob's here, just taking one is fine with me. Taking two, it's like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, plan the parade if they take two.
Yes. Yes.
If we bet with Sports Interaction, it feels like over fest tomorrow.
Really? Runs on runs.
The Bowden thing, and then why you just telling me everyone worth a shit in the Astros bullpen is afraid to work tomorrow. So,
well, Hader hates work. Josh Hader is a part of the war against work. He just is scared to go.
He wouldn't work before the ninth. He refused to do it,
which is kind of crazy. Kind of insane that no one really talks about that as much as they should. That Josh Hader's like, oh, I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to go too. But yeah, I could see one or two. I guess we can go to the pitching matchups here because we always do the preview of the pitching matchups for the people. So, Bowden Francis versus Blanco tomorrow. Berríos versus Valdez, who looked really bad opening day. Did not look good.
Or and did Chris the Yankees make him look bad?
Well, yeah, that's true. The buzzsaw. Chris Bassett versus Javier, game three, and then nice little off day Thursday for the boys. But I could see Bassett shutting this team down, and then maybe the first two kind of get hit around a little bit by this Astros team. But which game, if you could put money, I know YJ's in the gambling man. Which game are they winning this series, YJ's?
I think I like them. It feels crazy. I like them tomorrow. And I am a Framber hater for no reason. He's kind of sick. But I did watch a lot of that start because I love my Yankees. And he could not throw a strike. He did not have any, like, I haven't seen a pitcher not know where anything's going like that in a long time. And he's hittable.
He is hittable. Framber Valdez, our Yankees showed hittable. It. Shout out Verdugo's decent game against him as well. So, it's going to be this series, Ross. It's not really a rivalry between the Jays and the Astros, but it's just two teams that are good. It's a good color matchup, right, Abe? This is a really good color matchup, I think.
Oh, the worst jerseys in baseball are what the Astros wore today, though.
Yes, holy. The spring training blues.
Why in the world do they wear those? And
I think
Hader with his weird colored glove now and those uniforms were the worst a professional baseball player had looked on the field in a long time.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Those jerseys are the behind the scenes people in the Astros got lazy, didn't want to do laundry on Saturday, so they pulled out the spring training blues for the people. But I like the stadium. I like Minute Maid Park. I think it's great. It's a great visual to watch games there, especially when the Jays are playing. I know last year or 2 years ago we had the infamous Bradley Zimmer home run and Zach Collins home run off of Justin Verlander. So some great memories there at Minute Maid Park. But this series is gonna. It sucks the Jays have to do all of these series that I'm looking forward to early in the year. But that's just the bed that the schedule makers made for the boys. But Zoobs, what about you? Which game are you most confident in this series that the Jays are going to take?
Probably game four. No. I like the Berríos start. I think that matchup, you'll get the anger out of the way. So they go, the Astros are 1-4. Jays can take a step back. I think Berríos, it represents sort of a nice mix and a nice matchup for them. I'll take it. I'll take the Berríos start in game two.
Does Bo play tomorrow? Everyone's thoughts?
I think so. Neck spasm? That's a 24-hour thing. It's like a stomach bug.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you get a neck spasm? That's what I wonder. I don't know. Like, is it?
Don't ask.
I'm not even gonna ask that. But great series coming up here. Then we got the Yankees this weekend, which is. God damn it. I just love playing in the Bronx.
The interaction for all of us here on Twitter is going to be awesome.
It's great. That's when my death threats in my DMs are at the all-time high is via Yankee fan. So the Jays, I would sacrifice the Jays getting swept in Houston if it meant a series win in New York. I'll take that's a hill I'm willing to die on. Get swept in Houston, fine. But if you win in the Bronx against the Yankees, then I get to dunk on Yankees fans until the next series they face them. So that's where I'm kind of at with that. But before we end this, I did want to go into the Vladdy talk because I saw his at-bats look substantially better. I know we talked about it earlier, but he looks more patient at the plate. His swing, like the thing that was Vladdy last year was he was doing the daddy hacks in pitchers' counts. Now he's doing the Dottie Hawks and hitters counts. And I noticed that today. 2-1 ball, 2-1 pitch against, I believe it was Clevinger. Vladdy just wanted to hit the ball through the scoreboard, which is fine. I'm fine with doing Dottie Hawks on a 2-1 pitch. He's patient at the plate. He's swinging out his pitches. I know Avery did a breakdown about this on Twitter, right? Avery talked about the pitches that he was, all the pitches that he swung at.
He swung at all of them, you mean?
Yes, all the pitches he swung at, whatever. Yeah. But he does every look great. One. YJ's, where are you at here with Vladdy? Like, do you think he has turned a leaf in approach-wise at the plate? Or are you just thinking it's a little bit too small of a sample size to figure that out?
Both. I think he looks more athletic at the plate, if you can look that. His swing looks better. And it's like the two hand where it's like he's just cutting it off. So it's just like all the velocity just hits a wall rather than like letting it go all the way through. Not that it matters, but it just looks way better. It looks like he did something, which is like all you can ask. Like, look like you tried. Look like you did something to improve. And he hit an awesome home run.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That almost murdered a stingray in center field. That home run gave me chills. It did. Zoobs, where are you out here with Vladdy? Because I know you have been a kind of on the front lines with me about like just it's not disrespect to Vladdy. He hasn't been a generational hitter the last two seasons. That's not a hot take. That's not us being mean. It's just true. Where are you at on the Vladdy train going through this year? Are you drinking the Kool-Aid right now like I am? Because I'm Vladdy pilled.
Yeah, I feel like if you're a Blue Jays fan, like you may as well be Vladdy pilled. Like I don't know why you would watch and be like, I don't think Vladdy's any good. It's like I don't know what your basis on the team being good or being worth watching will be. Then, I mean, YJ's mentioned it, but like it's amazing what a 450 foot home run can do for your reputation, and I think we see that as like if he hadn't hit a 450 bomb, it would have been like, yeah, pretty good weekend. He was selective. He took his walks when he had to. It's like no, he did the thing that he does better than anybody, which is hit the ball fucking really hard, really far. I agree that it as much as there was a lot of noise last year about what might have been wrong and the weird power outage against lefties, like ultimately for me, it did come down to pitch selection and leaving the stuff away for absolute must parts of the count, not early in the count, and taking those daddy hacks when you're getting the pitches you can really swing at, because he does that better than just about anybody, like really makes people pay with mistakes. With that comes some first pitch groundouts on middle 92 that happens too, but you know, you take it. I'm in on a bounce back year, maybe not 2021, but better than last year by a lot, and probably better than 2022 as well. It seems impossible that he should hit less than 30 home runs if he's healthy. It just like doesn't seem like that should be possible.
Yeah.
And yet he does it. Like I think last year his max was 5 or 6 home runs in a month. Like he's a guy that should do that in 2 weeks. That shouldn't be a monumental thing for, oh, Vladdy hit 3 home runs this week and he hit 3 next week. That should happen a couple times a year. So I'm in on hopefully this what he started with, a nice solid 4-game base where he took his walks when they were given to him and knew, like you could sort of tell which at bats they just weren't going to go, they weren't going to give in to him, and which they were going to challenge him. I think him, as long as over the long term he is committed to continuing to do that, I think he's going to have a really big year, because he's so talented and our expectations are so high because he's so talented. I think a big Vladdy year is like not a crazy ask and would go an awful long way. If he was good at all last year, I think we're framing the way the last season went a lot differently.
What do you guys take into account with him being the two-hole hitter? Because that's a...
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
You put your...
Yep.
Do you think that's them roster or lineup construction saying they had their best two-hole hitter there last year as Bo, and it's like, okay, it's time for Vladdy to be that?
I think so. I think it encourages him to be a little more patient, and it sort of plays into, you know, take your walks because Bo's behind you. Like, I know it's hitters are going to hit and guys are going to do what they do, but Bo's profile is so aggressive, put the ball in play, hit the ball the other way more than anybody else in the league, and hit line drives. And Springer wasn't on enough last year for that to be as powerful as it could be. And if people are going to pitch around Vlad the way that they do, and he's going to juice that OBP with cheap walks, you may as well have somebody ahead of him sliding into second for those ground ball.
YJ's, yeah. Would you? I'm in the way that I think Bo should hit one and Springer should hit three.
I know. I can't even start thinking about it because it's like, hey Springer, we're thinking about moving you, and he's just like, no, you're actually not going to move me. And they'll go, you know, we had a good constructive conversation. Thank you, George. So I don't know. Like, honestly, if you really want to get stupid nerdy, it's probably Turner. And then you go back to being a normal baseball fan and like, oh, the leadoff guy can't run? I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's a fair comment to me.
But the Vlad hitting second is low-key interesting on a couple levels, because part of me is like, they think he's going to be the best hitter. And then another part of me is like, it's also a punishment to Vlad, because I've never talked to a Major League Baseball player, but I hear all the quotes, like Judge and Soto both want to hit third. All of these like huge, amazing hitters, they don't wake up and go, oh man, I hope they pencil me in hitting second this year. this would be a huge dream come true. Like Mike Trout hates it. Everyone hates hitting second, and they should like it because it's the spot where your best hitter goes now. So it's kind of a twofold, like, hey, you weren't actually that good, but we also think you are going to be that good.
That's fair. I used to hit in the six hole, so that's where they used to sneak me.
Best second hitter goes there.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a cook. I'd say I was double cleanup. but anyways, man, it's good to talk ball. This is long overdue to have YJs and Zoobs on the podcast, man. You can find Zoobs on Twitter at the Zoobs and YJs at YJs. His profile picture is a picture of a cat in biker gear. But yeah, Zoobs, great
biker
podcast.
Gear.
Biker gear. And Zoobs, if there's wrestling guys here, wrestling brain, Zoobs does that as well. He's locked
less than,
in on
less
that.
Than Jays as well.
Less than Jays. Yeah, less than Jays. Did I not already say that? I might have not said that.
They're halfway through.
I'm hungover. Yeah. It's fine. But anyways.
And YJ's, what's our space schedule looking like during the season?
Yeah,
what
do you think? Space schedule?
When I feel like it.
Okay.
Hell,
you'll announce
days.
It on Twitter. That's fine.
Sounds like off days. That sounds like off days. Thursday. That's what I read from that.
Yeah, Thursday. So YJ's space on Thursday. Love you guys, man. You guys are obviously a massive part of this. So we appreciate you guys, your support, and obviously coming on here. But we got ball back on the TVs, man. This is electric. We will be streaming the game tomorrow, me and Avery, grinding away. Astros, Bowden Francis, bump day. And
8:10 start, man. You got to cut into bedtime.
8:10, a little bit late. Doc will be in bed by 9:30. He'll be missing it. But thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys subscribe, like, leave a comment. Let us know how we did. And let's have ourselves a week. Any last comments, Zoobs and YJs, for the people?
Dream come true to have me on here, guys. Really appreciate the time. This was awesome. I'm thrilled the ball is back. Go Jays.
Yep. Sweet dream. Beautiful nightmare. Go Jays.
There we go. Wow. And Avery, any last comments? I mean,
No, that was beautiful.
Avery's buzzing.
Both of them.
Avery's smiling ear to ear. He loves ball being on, man.
I love hanging out with my friends, man. This is awesome. And talking ball.
True ball knower. Thank you guys tuning in. Gate 14 forever. We'll be right back.